If we ever had a family movie, it's probably that one about how 9/11 was an inside job.
And I looked over at him, and he looked over at me with his whiskey, and he goes, "When boys were bloody men."
Give him a call. And he's like, "Yeah, I'm in Ohio." And he said it so casually. He said it like, "Yeah, I'm going to be a little late. I'm just going to need to go to Canada real quick."
Fuck you, Dad!
You got it.
Yo, welcome to another episode of Fuck You Dad. You know what it is. Again, with the special episodes. This is like four special episodes in a row. So I've said it once. We're a special podcast, Kenan.
Goddamn right.
Because we keep hammering out special episodes, but this week is super special because it's our first not stand-up comedian, and it's our first champion. We've never had a champion on our podcast.
Yes, stand-ups are losers at life.
Exactly.
Sure.
Like, it's a lot of losers.
Right.
Good losers, but losers nonetheless.
Yeah.
WSOP bracelet champion, WSOP ring champion, Ryan DiPaolo. Ryan, what's up, man?
What's going on? Yeah, yes. I was just about to say all stand-ups are losers, but I actually admire them, so that would be a fake tag to your joke. So I have nothing to say, but hello.
Yeah, man.
I think I did hear on a, I don't know if it was a Twitch stream. I think it was a Twitch stream of yours that you mentioned that you wanted to try it.
Yeah, I have like 5 minutes that I've like rehearsed many times in the car and it keeps changing. Like I've done it once or twice in open mics and I know that I'm going to bomb eventually, but like I for sure am confident that I could be good at it. Like,
Well, you definitely have the ability to produce punchlines and setups and stuff in your videos. It is different dealing like being on stage and dealing with a live audience.
Yeah, real time. Rejection.
It'd be horror like to like look at them and then be like they're totally not with you at all. And I definitely in life just will lose a room like with my fiance's family that like I totally mis-explain the premise and then I make like a kid rape joke and they're just like where the hell does that come from? And I'm like horrified for a moment. So I can only imagine on stage when they're there for not a niece's party, but for you to make them laugh, the horror that must be. But
it's not great.
It seems like an awesome, whatever. I'm going to do it.
It's very degenerate. If you think of it like
it's
degeneracy.
Like
exactly.
It's much like if you play poker, you can do stand up because you're taking a huge bet on your life. You know, this is going to work out. They're going to be able to pay the bills and stuff. You know, I mean, the ultimate bet, really.
Yeah,
you know, not
yeah.
$35, not the rent, but like your 20s. I put a decade in my life. So.
And the percentage of people actually make money doing it probably or make it, right, is low as hell, like with poker, too.
Yeah. It's about the same. It's like paying the Powerball lottery, but every day. And you have to write before you do it. And you have to try really hard and send emails, you know.
Yeah. So, Fuck You Dad is the podcast. My dad and myself, we started gambling together when I was 14. I started playing poker online, and then Black Friday happened. So I got to know, as a professional gambler, did you do that with your dad? Was it also like playing catch in the backyard? Like, was it a thing that you guys did together?
Not really. It was, he sort of guided me in gambling, but he really just caught me playing scratch offs when I was like 18. And he was like, "Why the fuck are you playing scratch offs? Don't ever do that. Like, do some play numbers if you're going to do that. There's way better odds."
That's a good dad right there.
Yeah.
So, no, if you're going to gamble, get involved with the mob. All right. Yeah. Please do something responsibly. Okay. Just do a scratch off. Put your life on the line. All right. That's where the money is.
Literally, he's from Brooklyn and like works for the unions. And it's like all my friends' meme of him was that he was like mafia. And thinking back, the two forms of gambling he used as good examples are the most highly mafia rigged gambling there is, running numbers and the horses. It's like the one and two mob gambling.
DiPaolo is like a kind of a cool gangster name.
For sure.
Yeah. I should be so much cooler. Not only that, my parents literally met at Studio 54.
Oh,
literally in the heyday of it. I should be so much cooler than I am. Like,
it's a lot of pressure.
Too much.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I got to ask his reaction to when you won a fucking bracelet. Like, was that like a, hey, you've really made it, son? Or was that kind of like a, you should be playing the numbers kind of thing?
But I think by then he was okay because a year before that, my first trip to the World Series of Poker, which for people who don't know, it's many tournaments each year. They run them. It's like once a year. There's
it's
the
like
main
the PGA
event.
Tour. It's huge. They've got like so many different tournaments and different like
types
of poker. It's madness.
Right. But there's not one winner each year, but it's still amazing to win a bracelet. And I turned a $400 entry into $208,000 the year before. So it was after that I was kind of like, not F you, Dad, but like F you, Aunt Amy, who like still thinks I'm just a degenerate gambler. And it's like, no, I have a YouTube channel and stuff. But
which sounds almost worse. And you're like, no, I'm not a degenerate gambler. I have a YouTube channel. Okay. I signed up on a free thing that anybody could do. All right. Don't you fucking come at me. I am filming this crime. Okay. But at least you're the heroin addict cousin. He has the decency to do it in private. You're like making content.
Yeah. I'm documenting your life. My downfall. Yeah. Bitch. Yeah. but yeah, then I think it's people almost over like he over believed in it to an extent, but he's proud appropriately. But it's kind of a bit that I'm like, you always doubted me, like how Carmelo Anthony, like with the Knicks, would like make the playoffs and be like, no one believed in me. And it's like, shut the fuck up. Everybody believed in you. You were drafted third overall. Like,
you scored like 80 points a game in high school. People fucking believed
in you. They've had some thoughts for you, for sure. Who's so positive? No one's like, well, that's not going to turn into anything.
Yeah. So you grew up in New York City, right, Ryan? Like the New York City, like in the city.
Yeah, I went to high school, and it was public school, but it was performing arts high school. You auditioned to get in Manhattan. Every school is in Manhattan.
Wait, hold on. You went to a performance arts high school?
Yeah, the movie Fame is about my high school. It's like it's special city funding, but you have to audition to get in on whatever your thing is.
So what was your audition?
I did two monologues. One was from 12 Monkeys, and one was from... I don't even remember. And I literally didn't even understand basically what I was saying. I just was super dedicated.
Dark for high school, man. I've seen 12 Monkeys.
I don't know why I cannot imagine you doing a monologue, like you just being like, listen, and like you with a script and just, I can't, with the accent and everything and the way that your vlogs are, that just, I would love to, is it recorded somewhere?
No, it was pretty probably horrible, but I guess when you're filtering 13-year-olds and it's like 3,000 of them and you accept 200, I guess the other kids were even worse, because I think that's a thing where everybody in the city is like, you can have not acted until eighth grade when you're about to try to audition to get into special high school and then be like, oh shit, I've never taken a saxophone lesson in my life, or I don't know how to dance. Acting I could learn in a week, and then they wing it and try it. And so actually this is parent related or whatever, but leading up to that audition, my mom mostly was steering the ship, and my dad was like, oh, whatever, Nancy, whatever, I'm on board, but making me take piano lessons as well, like making me take piano to, in preparation of that, in large part, honestly, knowing that she was hoping I'd get into LaGuardia, the high school.
Oh, okay.
We had a big fight the night before the audition, but her philosophy was much easier to get in for piano and then just transfer when you're in there, which was like kind of her like tricking me, because it really wasn't that easy to transfer once you're in there. But the night before we had a fight, and then I just went there and auditioned for only acting and just told her that I did both. Just total gambling at eighth grade, because she would have killed me if I didn't get in for acting. So thank God I got in for acting,
that's,
and then it all was good.
And that's when you're like, risks pay off, goddamn.
For real. Yeah.
I need to do this.
Yeah.
100%. Okay. So what were the dynamics like in that school? Like, were the popular kids like the Zac Efron's, like the lead in the play was like the popular kid?
Yeah, is this like a parallel universe where theater kids are cool?
Yeah. How did that work?
Were they like bully people? So they're doing musicals like shoving you in the trash and shit? Yeah.
my high school, it was actual like lines of coke that would make you popular, not like a killer. Like, you dropped that line pretty well at rehearsal the other day.
I think lines of coke transcend school genre. That also made you cool.
Always
at
cool.
My school.
Always just subjectively looks cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, drugs are definitely make you cool. But I think it was just the hyper theater kids were like everyone like talk shit, but there were no, it was definitely super cool. Like, definitely not cliques. I don't think anyone was bullied unless I was the one doing it, and I don't remember it because it's not painful for me, you know, like I have my own experience. Like, I don't fucking know, but no, I was cool, man. I actually wrote some arrogant college essay about it, that I'm better than other people from other people in the country because I have had more diverse groups that I've been exposed to, and people are prone to pick one of those groups, and I had more multiple choices, so I'm more myself than someone from like Iowa or some shit.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Hmm. Kind of
true.
Not a bad argument.
No. Really valid. So,
because in a small town, you're like, you have three personalities. You got sports, you're super smart, or you are addicted to drugs.
Yeah.
Like those pick the three, and there you go.
So
I'm saying, but I only know that from movies, but yeah.
Yeah, well.
You did recently, you're a new homeowner, correct?
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah.
You know a little too much about him, Nick.
I know. I know.
The new couch that you put behind you, right?
Well, to get in contact with you, I did have to do something terrifying, and I did. I had to message your girlfriend. Yeah, I had to DM your girlfriend on Instagram, and I don't DM. I'm not like good at that kind. I didn't. The last thing I wanted was for you to be like, dude, what the fuck are you doing in my girlfriend's DM? Like that would like destroy me. So I was very careful in my wording. But
no, you should know that was total spat. Well, yeah. What disrespect that you don't go through me. No, I like. Sorry, I'm all fuzzy now. This is fucked up. I am so bad at messages in life that I'm glad you hunted me down. I always think that people think that I'm gonna. Respond like maybe I do half the time. I don't know, dude. But anyway.
No, you're, I mean, I know that like you must get, I can't imagine being a successful gambler on YouTube because you must get so much shit from just degenerate people. Like either they lost a lot or they won a lot. Bad beats.
Yeah. Yeah. People, well, one, Instagram is peak retarded that they have it be like the same inbox where somebody's sending me a heartfelt like message about how some video randomly helped them get through their mom dying or some shit that's nice to read is in the same inbox as somebody just sending three fire emojis or like asking me for $5 to transfer them online poker. Just same inbox. And so it's maxed out. And I feel really shit that I like would love to read. Like I wish there was a like quality or like human connection filter automatically on Instagram. But yeah, no, people will be like, yo, you need to investigate this thing. I got scammed by this guy. And it's like the most obvious scam. It's like, you know, this Nigerian sports book is not paying me some stupid shit. It's like, dude, I can't help you. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's clearly a scam.
Yeah, I mean, should have used your brain before you did that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Or people tell me that there's a feature on this website where after you cash out on America's Card Room, a website I work for, if you cash a tournament, it pops up. It's like, do you want to go for double or nothing in your tournament winnings? But you have to confirm it like three times before it does it. There's no way to misclick do it.
Yeah.
But twice, people who signed up through a friend of a friend have gotten back to me somehow and been like, dude, I did it by mistake and it took my money and I don't know what to do. It's like, yo, you are lying. Yeah. There's no chance you did that by mistake.
You had three screens. You had three chances. Yeah. You know? And each time you're like, fuck it, let's ride this bad boy. And you lost and you're like, how do we turn this? How do I get rent back?
Yeah, it's game recognized game sort of thing. Like, they can't convince me to, you know, I know.
So did you ever get in any like serious trouble with your dad? Cause I can imagine that can be kind of a scary dad to piss off. Did you do that a lot as a kid?
Yeah, he sounds a lot more scary than he is, but he's sort of like the, you know, Italian dads sort of have this meme of being like, I'll do anything for my daughter. And they're very emotional, but they're tough to everyone else, you know? And so he sort of was almost the opposite where he was too like, I don't want to say lenient, but like, so my mom died when I was 16 and I'm an only child. So it's just me and my dad. After that. And before that, he like worked on Broadway. So I didn't like know him as well, sort of basically that it was, he was always there, but it was like, I wouldn't see him as much as a dad with a normal working schedule, right? Cause he was working nights and then off on Monday when I was at school and stuff. And then I lucked out cause it turns out he's super awesome. And, the trouble I got in with him was later when I started really like high level trouble. And he was like, yo, when you get arrested, I'm not going to bail you out. But I did and he did. So I guess I called his bluff. I don't know.
Is that something, did you say you got arrested?
Yeah. I mean the time in University of Colorado, I went away to, and I got expelled after a year and a half. But so the time I got arrested, he basically I was in there in the holding cell. It was a ridiculous story where I was just basically the first person out front when the cops arrived to a house party to break it up. I just happened to be outside. They were talking to girls outside, shine the light. I like close the door, whatever, you know, it was bad luck, honestly, at that point. So I'm in jail and then I'm on the phone with my dad after a while. And, first of all, before this is a funny story. I'm sitting there and they for some reason they were like transferring some inmates, guys who were in the full chains. Me and some other drunk people and other people got arrested the night weren't. We were just chilling there, like our life is going horribly. Then they bring out two guys in chains who look like they've been there a while, like one big black guy and one little like Spanish guy with face tattoos, and they're just like, this is every day for them, looking like they wheel out a sandwich cart with like 11 sandwiches for 11 people there. And right away, the big black guy gets up, grabs 9 of them, and sits back down. And I was like,
this is how it's going to be.
This is not where I need to be. And so I'm like on the phone with my dad later. I'm like, Dad, they said I'm going to make more friends in the back. If you don't get the money to my friends soon, I need it. Because the officer was like, tell them you're going to make more friends in the back if they don't get the money here soon. And then my dad, instead of being like, all right, I'll send the money, he goes, listen to me. If that happens, what you got to do, I don't care if you're going to get your ass kicked, the first guy that messes with you, got to fight back. And I'm like, Dad, no. And he's like, you might get your ass kicked. You might really get beat up. It doesn't matter. You have to fight back. Okay, listen to me.
He's like,
and I'm like, wait, what are you doing? Just send the money. Like,
yeah. That's like peak toxic masculinity. It's like, listen, I need you to die before you get raped. I'm not picking you up if you're getting raped. The family's honor's on the line. You do whatever it takes, okay?
For real, yeah. Defend your honor. Yeah, it's like, I know, I call back. I'm like, Dad, you have the money? He's like, did they take you?
You still have God, right? You didn't lose your God? Well, that's good, man. I mean... Because he is in the vlogs a couple of times. He kind of looks like the turtle from Over the Hedge. You ever see that movie, Over the Hedge?
No.
Well, that's fucked. But, yeah, well,
that was, I failed at this.
He gambled on that reference for sure.
Yeah, well, definitely.
And I'm a phony for giggling at it. I'm sorry. I thought you were just calling him a turtle, like, which I should know better of your capability for jokes.
So do you miss the city at all after moving out of it?
Yeah, the food's horrible here. I mean, I don't like... I don't miss it yet, dude, but it's been a lot. Like growing up in the city my whole life and then learning a house. And my dad doesn't even know, right? He's the person who I call for so many things in my life where it's like, oh, I got a broken tire. What do I do? And he's like, oh, look in the trunk. You never knew this, like blah, blah, blah. The house, he doesn't know either, you know, because he's lived in apartments forever. So like day one, there's like a leak in the pipe and I don't know where the water shutoff valve is. And then like the Verizon guy who's high on opiates is like laughing at me, emasculating me. And I'm like, dude, shut the fuck up. Help me. And he had to help me hunt for the water shutoff valve in the house and stuff like.
Yeah, it's crazy when there's no number to call. Like usually like you call the super or your landlord and they send a guy who already knows what to do because they've done it the past like 8 years. But I can imagine, like, especially, you drop a ton of money on a fucking house, which is something I can't even. I'm 26. I feel like buying a house is okay. This is a funny story. So where I work, I have a day job, and as a fun thing, one day in the Zoom meeting, we were like, "Let's do everyone say their irrational fear and their rational fears," and it got dark within like the third employee. Like the third employee was like, "I got a rational fear that I'm never going to be able to afford to take care of my mom and dad when they get old," and everyone's just like, "Woof, yeah, gotta take care of that."
Gotta add that to my list. Yeah, gotta add that to my list too.
Yeah,
it's
like, yeah, exactly. The fears just start stacking up in my mind too, where it's like, "Fuck, I've never thought of that one." I'm gonna sweat that out tonight. But that was my rational fear was like, I'm never going to get to buy a house. And by then, everyone's just crying in the meeting. Like, it's just derailed totally. Like, no one's going back to work ever. Everyone's going to fucking Indeed.com to find a new job.
Yeah, how bad is the job where everyone's fear is like, I'm afraid of starving to death all the time? Like, I know if I break my ankle, I'm going to declare bankruptcy. So,
oh, here, I've been dying to ask you this, Ryan. So what did it feel like? I know you said I think you enjoyed the job you had before you became a professional poker player, but what did that feel like to quit?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't really enjoy it. I was just grateful for it. Like, it was a good union job that I got through, like, you know, nepotism and dad union shit. And then I didn't fuck it up enough to stay there. But my boss is a piece of shit. One boss, and it felt great. I was tempted so many times in COVID when all of Broadway was shut down to be like, yo, I need help making some logos for my channel. I'll give you $5 an hour. But I just resisted the urge to not burn the bridge. But it felt great. But I'm cautious that as a gambler, even it's like, you know, the wheels could come off at any time. And the game in big picture changes so frequently that a lot of people, you know, don't. If you slack off or rest on your laurels in poker, you for sure can fall behind because it's constantly evolving.
Yeah, I mean, Are you, because you haven't, are you, were you like a math guy? Because all these poker players are like, they're either like finance dudes or math guys. Were you into that as a kid?
Yeah, no, I'm both. Like, I was like, they're either drug addict degenerates or math guys, and I was both. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Like, I'm,
so, true man of both worlds.
Yeah.
True versatile person. Yeah. AP statistics was the only like AP class I took. I loved it. And even not even relating to gambling, like I wasn't very degenerate in high school. I just very drawn to like a straight. It was the first time math could be applied to real world stuff when he was like, this is the gambler's fallacy. This is the roulette odds. This is the odds of rolling a dice. Like, you know, and I was like, this is cool. And I was always good at math. So,
okay. I always wondered that because it through your vlogs, it's so cool to watch you go from that shitty New York casino. What was that first casino you started going to?
The Aqueduct. Oh, no. Yonkers Raceway. Both of these places are the most depressing places on earth.
And it made me, because I grew up in Minnesota where the gambling age was 18. So I grew up going to these, like there was one nice casino and then me and my dad would, he's a British immigrant. And so gambling is like in his genetics. Like in England, if you're watching a soccer game on cable television, the cable provider will have like press the green button to bet on the home team and press the blue button.
Yes, that's insane. That should be illegal. That's wrong.
You'll gamble through your bill. So let's say
that's amazing. Yes. Yo, that is great.
Yes. And so, well, consequently, there's like, do you have a gambling problem on every park bench? Like everywhere.
Yeah, like that shit. I can imagine.
That shit is also everywhere. Gambling is everywhere. And then like, stop gambling, please, is also everywhere. But
it's like the government is like, the cable companies are like, they're like, all right, look, everyone's getting addicted, losing all their money. We have to stop this feature. They're like, how about we just put it on benches and leave the feature?
Yeah, we'll call it. We're making a lot of money here.
Exactly.
Let people go broke, but on their bus ride because they can't afford their car payment to work, we'll remind them that they're horrible at life.
He would always go, he would call it the shit house.
That's crazy.
Let's go donate to the shit house. And we'd go to like these shitbag casinos like in like Wisconsin.
And play the fruit machines or whatever.
The fruities.
The fruit machines.
Because he was a slot guy and I played blackjack and just lost my fucking, my tiddlywink money. But he would go ahead, Ryan. I'm sorry.
No.
I was just
interrupting all
day. It would
be
funny the difference in our ATM withdrawals. Because, I mean, the ATM machine, you could hear it just go, purr. I never, like, got to see what he was taking out because he'd hide it from me. And then mine was just like, cha-ching, cha-ching, just 220s.
Right. His ATM machine's, like, loading up for him. I don't know if we have what it takes.
It was, like, getting hot. And then he would just burn it on fucking slot machines and get drunk, and then I'd drive home.
Yeah, it was a big moment recently when I passed my dad in money risk threshold at the casino. He plays craps.
Oh, okay.
And he'll do like a couple hundred. And like, I was gambling the same amount as him when I had probably no job. Like the percentage of my net worth that I was risking was like, I was gambling as if someone who made, you know, like whatever, 15 times what I was making, like if someone with a half a brain. But now I've surpassed him and maybe gambling 8 times more than I should per gamble, you know, but poker is almost separate. It's kind of weird. It's a weird mind fuck because it's like, I'm profitable at poker and then I'll make money from it and then go play video poker, which no one can be profitable at. So I'm like playing real poker to fuel my video poker addiction. it's a pretty weird thing, but I know to many people, it sounds all one and the same, but
I respect it because I watch all the other poker vloggers like fucking Boski and Brad Owen, and they're just like, oh, I got a new camera or I moved to Vegas, and I'm not like, no, Ryan's going for the fucking big shot. He's gonna hit a million on a royal flush and it's gonna be fucking sick. So
except you don't see the nights when I'm like just like randomly losing 1500 and like, what am I doing? Like, I should be editing.
That sucks also to randomly lose 1500 and be like, that was your day at work, technically. You know what I mean? That was like your 8 hours. Like, some people are like, I had a bad day at work. And you're like, I have to explain to my wife that we're moving now. You know?
Yeah, like, literally. That's it's like most people don't have a rough day and then lose money out of the bank, like lose weeks of work, like at normal jobs or whatever. Yeah, for sure.
Have you gotten better handling like that kind of stuff, like bad beats or just bubbling? Because I will play like rinky-dink $20 daily tournaments and I'll still have a meltdown in the car if I stone bubble.
Yeah, no, yeah, I have for sure. Because, well, one, it's easier. Well, I don't know if this is number one in any order, but one, it's easier to be less heartbroken when you're able to play more often. Mm. When it's like your only tournament on a trip, or people go to the World Series and they can play one tournament and then they lose in a, you know, 50-50 spot that it was unavoidable. It's going to be more heartbreaking because they have to wait forever till their wife will let them play again or whatever.
Yeah.
And then the other thing is like, bankroll management, which I like only vaguely have separate money that's actually a bankroll, but it's fighting the urge to be crazy risky with how much percent of that I'm entering a tournament with, you know. And then it's less devastating, but it can get frustrating. But I've had so much luck that I like try to remind, I don't think I can complain for like 19 more years or something based yeah. on what I,
especially when you play a game that you don't, I mean, how often do you play PLO and you want a ring?
Yeah, right. I know that's insane. Like never. But I think a lot of the other people in the tournament are also just no limit hold'em sickos like D-gens, me who are yeah. just like, oh, let me just try this. Yeah, it's funny. Actually, people say that if you made up a variant of poker brand new and then put a bunch of pros in it, that the ones who are better than others would have a bigger edge in this random new game that no one's ever heard of. So if I'm not saying at all I'm good or I have any edge. But if that's true, then it makes a little more sense why I got through. But in two tournaments, anyone can win. That's why poker is so great. That's also why I feel horrible promoting the game, because it's like I'm like have a responsibility both to people who watch my YouTube channel to not like make them sick and horrible and think that it is something that other than it is, but also to the poker friends that I have in the ecosystem of poker that is just piranha reliant on new people losing their money. It's like, you know what I mean? It's
such a dark thing to say. Like, I don't want to trick people into getting into it, but also poker relies on tricking people into getting into it.
That's
all it is. We need them so that I can pay this fucking mortgage, you know?
It's weird. It's a weird thing. You don't need
people with no money trying to make money. You need people with lots of money just torching it. That's
That's why people are pissed actually that they're requiring vaccines at the World Series of Poker, because it's like, yo, I want to play against retards. I want to play against people.
Brilliant. Yeah, it's, like, it's too much forethought. It should be like, no, you have to be unvaccinated to play at the World Series of Poker.
Seriously, when COVID was, it was like April, and then the Venetian was the one casino holding out until the like state and government made them stop, and they had three-handed poker, meaning three people at a table. And then my friend was like,
"You are sick fucks if you're playing but three fucking handed." God,
in like April, dude, it was so late into COVID, and it was, or what? Not maybe not, but you know, it was like late. Nothing was open, and my friends were like, "Yo, I wish I could go. That has to be the dumbest people on the planet there. There's so much money to be made with these hillbillies." Or whoever's there right now. It's weird because it's a zero-sum game, you know, and like it's like people are also guarded with strategy when you talk to people, which I'm not. I hate being not a full open book in life in general, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, but then it's stuff that's like tricks that are not mine to share. Like coaches I've had in poker will be like, yo, you are known in poker, you cannot share this shit. You will mess up the metagame in a way. It's all this mind
that
fuckery
sounds
that
so fucking stressful to deal with.
It's not, and comedians and you guys, it's not definitely clearly not the type of people to like have some filter, and clearly I'm not and use euphemism or anything like that. So I'll just be like, yo, I can't tell you that, let's talk about something else or whatever, you know?
For sure.
Well, man, thank you for stopping in. Do you have anything you want to plug before we wrap up?
No, I feel like I only just now calmed down enough to properly be present in this conversation. I'm sorry it's ending, but thanks for having me.
Okay, sorry, man.
I mean, I didn't feel that. We had a good episode.
It was a great time.
Yeah, we had a
great you guys did great. I give myself a C.
No,
you,
man.
You want to do another one? You want to do two? We could do two. Not right now, sure. But at a different time. Let's do another one, dude. Let's just here's the thing is I would love to talk poker with you, because all I've done essentially is I read D-Neg's book about small ball, which I think was written in like 1965 or something.
Yeah, books get outdated very fast.
Yeah. And but I still, that's all I had, and I went to play these rinky dink tournaments in Chicago, and I mean profited $700, but I gave a lot of that back to ACR, so thanks for that. I appreciate that. That's okay. That's my fault, dude. Playing online is so
much
different.
Better. They're so much better. Dude, play live. Everyone out. I mean, play in America's Card Room if anyone's going to play online, but play
live. Oh, yeah, it's a fun place to play live. And also, if they want to hire me, that'd be cool, too, just to fuck around.
Just throw that up there.
Yeah. I'll plug something of yours before we get out of here. Go watch Ryan's poker vlog on YouTube, especially the episode where he plays with Andy Milonakis in Costa Rica. That was the shit.
Agreed.
I think my favorite moment of your vlog, besides, I mean, obviously your big wins are great for you, la-di-da, but when you binked that, whatever it was, the 36 with Andy, that was like, that was the moment I think I rewound. I was like, I have to watch everything that led up to this moment.
It was so sick. It was crazy. It's like crazy, like, like it's the drama of unwritten sports, but with huge financial swings and ramifications for people. It's like very, you know.
It's an awesome vlog, and he's the most entertaining person in poker. So go check it out, and streams on Twitch and shit.
Not saying much, dude, but thanks. A bunch of math autistic assholes.
A ton of them.